Greetings. This is Rick Rodriguez. Thank you for joining me for this Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry program. Today is December the 6th, 2025. The programs are archived on thispresenttruth.com. You have a choice, an option of the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry programs or This Present Truth programs. Again, both are archived on thispresenttruth.com. I want to clarify a timeline in the previous program, and I was off by a year. I began my walk with Christ in January 1972. For about 2.5 years, I was unchurched. But in June of 1974, I began my Christian walk and being churched in a fellowship in Berkeley, California. In the previous program, my timeline was off by about a year. Secondly, in the previous program, I stated that we were at the beginning of the final decade before Christ's return. Actually, the decade began October 7th, 2023. That date began the final decade, the final wars before the return of Jesus Christ. So we are now over 2 years into that decade. Christ will return, in my belief, in 2033, in the time of the fall feast of Israel. So we are 2 years already into the final decade. With that, I'm going to begin with a short prayer. Lord Jesus, I do pray for this audience. I ask you will give them an ear to hear. I pray that your Spirit will be upon their minds. Help them, Lord, understand the time that we live in. You are God. You are the master of ceremonies. You are the God who is orchestrating all of the events that are occurring in the world today. But Lord, there is a spirit of blindness upon the nations, upon the people of the world. It's a veil. It is a mesmerizing effect upon all of the inhabitants of the world, that things will resume, things will eventually work out, that we at some point will return to some form of normalcy, but Lord, you know we won't. In the final decade, Lord, this is when the wars will increase and the sin of mankind will increase and affect the balance of the earth. The earth will teeter and rock like a drunken man back and forth because of the weight of the sins of mankind. So, Lord, I pray for the audience. Help them, assist them to understand the time in which we live. I ask this, Father, in the name of your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christo. Amen. So we're in a great time of deception, and 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, I'll back up to verse 2. Be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, the commands of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. scoffers, people that will make light of a matter, poke fun at a matter, especially prophecy, that will poo-poo, that will refuse to and put away the thought that we could be in the end times. So they're scoffers. They refuse to accept and will fight the belief that we could be in the time in the last 8 years out from Christ's return. I say that we are. We look at the condition of the societies of the world. There's madness, violence, war, continuing wars, conflicts in every continent, between the races, religions, between the wealthy, the poor, those that have not. Right now, the world is pushing, especially in the United States, for a central digital currency. These are matters that Christ stated in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, a time when you can't buy and sell, a system that is so perfect that without certain having a mark, worshiping an image, having the name, you can't buy, you can't sell. But then you have scoffers. Again, people who just make light of what's happening in the world. Again, they're poking fun, making sport of people that would even, like I'm presenting to you. We are in a period of time that the book of Matthew refers to as the time of birth pains, a time of sorrows. And the birth pains and the sorrows, that period of time, leads to something. It leads to tribulation. Tribulation is coming next year, I believe, in the fall. A 7-year tribulation. Right now, there are prophecies. I say that prophecies are swarming like bees out in the fields, or like herds of cattle or sheep moving across the pasture, swarming. And prophecies about Israel and the hatred of the Jewish people and the people of Israel, the anti-Semitism, it's occurring worldwide in the body of Christ, in America. The coming war in the Middle East, with Russia moving armies with other nations to present-day Jordan. Psalm 83 is a war in the Bible that talks about a regional war that begins with Israel in conflict in the region, not just along the Mediterranean in the present-day Gaza. No, in Gaza, in Lebanon, in Syria, in Jordan. And this war has been cooking. This has been, this prophecy is being fulfilled, the Psalm 83 regional war. For 2 years, this war has been in motion. It is coming, it will come to an end in this coming year. The prophecy will be fulfilled. Following that prophecy being fulfilled, a greater prophecy Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 will begin. At the end of the Psalm 83 war, there will be the destruction of the city of Damascus in Syria. And right about that time, Russia with Turkey, Iran, which is Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya, other nations from the north around Russia, will all their armies will descend to the mountains of Israel in present-day Jordan. And when that war occurs, Israel will be the owner of all of the real estate of present-day Jordan. So we're still the fire in the forest, you might say, started along the Mediterranean and is burning to the east. Eventually, the fire, which I liken to war, will occur in present-day Jordan, and Israel will take over legally, due to war, her real estate, expanding the real estate of Israel, which Israel is allowed to do. Jordan should have been Israel territory back in 1948, but things do happen diplomatically, and Israel was restricted from owning present-day Jordan, so Israel is going to have to go to war to take her land back. It is Israel's land, and once Israel takes over present-day Jordan, God is speaking to the nations that the land that he gave the children of Israel back at the time of Abraham, the patriarch of Israel, that land is theirs. They have a right to it. They will possess it. And this will be God speaking to the nations that the prophets, as they have spoken concerning that area, Israel has a right to the Mediterranean and part of Syria and the nation of Jordan. Israel will take back her land, and there will be great conflict. You think the conflict, what Israel is going through now, and the problems with the terrorist groups has reached its pinnacle? No. It's just the beginning. So we have the Ezekiel war coming. Then we have the invasion of Israel by the United States of America. That is coming in the future. Israel in Daniel 9:27 is going to make an agreement with a coming nation and an individual from across an ocean, the United States. And this agreement is referred to in Isaiah chapter 28, verses 15, 16, 17, and 18. It's called the Treaty of Death and Hell. And Israel was never, ever allowed to sign agreements with nations for her protection. Israel was always to look to the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Israel is going to make a mistake about a year from now and sign an agreement with the United States of America. It will not be Donald Trump. The agreement will be made with Israel, and I don't believe it'll be Benjamin Netanyahu. I believe Israel is going to change and shift the way they conduct business diplomatically from, I think they'll probably do away with the prime minister position in Israel to be more of a corporate decision-making government. but they are going to make an agreement. I state, in my view, about a year from now, 2026, in the fall, with the president who will be in power of America. It should be at that time, according to the prophecies in the scriptures. It should be the 44th president who will return to power, and he will sign an agreement with the nation of Israel. And that president, former President Barack Obama. I realize that I'm out in the middle of the lake, and the lake is frozen. And will the ice, is it thick enough to hold what I'm presenting to you? Time will tell. But in the meantime, I'll present what I see, what I understand. I'll let God decide. So this is coming next year. So that between now and, again, this is December 6th, between now and in the coming months, this president that we have now, Donald J. Trump, is going to be replaced. What is happening presently, and this is for the Christian audience, I have the two programs that I do, This Present Truth, which I get into the political and the nuts and bolts of the political world, economic world to some degree, and the religious world in this country. But then with the Olive Tree programs, for the Christian people, I am more focused on prophecies, because it will be the prophecies as they occur. This breaks the power, like Peter speaks of, scoffers, people who take lightly the vision and revelation of God's children, God's prophets, that are placed by God in societies during different time periods to warn the people in their vicinity and in their reach of what is coming, what is happening, what is really occurring from a biblical point of view. Peter speaks of these scoffers that they walk after their own lusts. And he's talking about scoffers in the body of Christ, pastors, clergy, not only in the evangelical churches, but in all of the mainstream denominations, Catholicism, the Lutheran Church, all of the major denominations. It is the evangelical churches of America, what I call the Laodicean Church, or churches centered in the United States, charismatic, Pentecostal, the messianic churches. We are Laodicea. We are the vital, vibrant aspect of Christianity. Catholicism has its rituals. Lutheran Church, Methodists, all that. They don't have the giftings that the evangelical churches have. The fundamental Christians like Baptists, etc., they're not so much into the giftings. But still, they do have the reality of the Holy Spirit, which makes them different than the Lutherans, the Methodists, the Catholics. Then you have the Pentecostals, which have an experience of the giftings and the power manifestations of the supernatural. It's important. Their doctrines may be inaccurate. The doctrinally, their footing may be, on uneven ground, but still, they do present the supernatural manifestation and the gifts that God has given the body of Christ for his kingdom purposes. So when you have the two, sound doctrine and the experience of the giftings in balance, where there's a check and balance, where they are can be used to profit God's children and to further the kingdom of heaven, then you have something powerful. At one point in my Christian life, I did not really, the assembly that I came out of, we were not allowed to talk about the gifts. No speaking in tongues, no gifts of miracles, basically anything having to do with any of the gifts that Paul talks about in in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, gift of tongues, gift of healings, I'll give you just the example in 1 Corinthians 12. Okay. The verse 4. The Holy Spirit helps us with different kinds of gifts, but by the same Spirit who gives these gifts. We serve the Lord in different ways, but all of us serve the same Lord. We do different kinds of work, but it is the same God who helps us all to work in different ways. God helps each of us with a gift from his Spirit. He does that so we can help others. The Spirit helps some people to speak wise messages. Other people can speak messages that help people to know what is true. It is the same Spirit that helps them to do that. The same Spirit causes other people to trust God strongly, to have the great gift of faith, to exercise and walk by not just a general faith that we all have, but by a supernatural, a faith that is not general. It is a gift that is even more powerful, that is given to certain people for the sake of their own lives and the body of Christ. Other gifts, to make sick people well. The gift of healings. I have a fellowship of friends and a fellowship down in Scottsdale years ago. And it was a blend of two different groups of people. One was very inner life. The gifts of the Spirit, by inner life I mean that there's a way to deny self, deny your natural desires. It's called abiding in the vine. It's a deep spiritual walk with the Lord, where you're led by him, you're under his direction. It is abiding in him, allowing him to abide in you. It is different from healings, different from speaking in tongues, different from prophesying. It is a daily walk. It is allowing the Lord to dwell in you and grow in you. And in that group, there was another group. They came out of Pentecostal churches. So in the same assembly, you had those with inner life, those with the giftings of the Holy Spirit, Pentecostal. And by working together, each got to see the Spirit, and they were godly people. They were godly. One just had the ability to work with supernatural giftings, the other with the giftings of inner life, denying the soul life. But together they were in the same assembly, and those that were inner life needed healings for sickness, those that had the gifts of supernatural power were able to heal those who were ill. On the other hand, those that were inner life were able to teach the other group on how to abide in Christ, how to live in Him, how to allow Him to live in you or to live in them. Now, we're in a time where both the supernatural abilities that God gives His children and the power of the Holy Spirit working within an individual to keep him holy and to keep a person righteous, to keep a person honest, so that the virtues are evident in the lives of these people, which should be our a desire, so that we are always at all times, we are living and the fruits of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, etc. I totally lost my train of thought because I felt this was important, but I'm going to go back to the matter of what we as a church in America, evangelical Christians who actually are the, I just have to say, we are the church in Laodicea. The church in Laodicea, another prophecy. The Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3, the ground or the field in which that church has to exist in is not in Europe. It's not in the Middle East. The field for the Laodicean church is the United States of America. The only field that we can grow in. It makes us unique of all the other seven, the other six churches. All of the previous six churches are either in Europe or more toward the Middle East. But the Laodicean church, the evangelical churches of the United States of America, are unique to a country, the United States. We can go and expand and we can have outreaches to the nations of the world, but we are unique in the sense that we have been placed in a nation that has the Constitution. The Constitution of this country is what gives us a unique ability and a field that we can grow, that we have been able to grow in, protected by the Constitution for a little while longer, not much longer. We are a church, and all of these seven churches, the other six churches, I should say, jumped the ocean to come to the United States of America. The Catholics jumped the ocean. The Lutherans, the Greek churches, the Orthodox churches of the Middle East, everyone, they've jumped the ocean to come to America for, number one, the freedom of religion that the Constitution promises, which is about to end, because in America there would be the best education, the best wealth, everything all of the other churches desire is in the United States. They can come to America. They can plant their assemblies, and they can prosper mightily financially. Look at the Catholic Church. Look at the Lutheran churches, the Methodists, Episcopalians, etc., etc. But America is the land of Laodicea. We are the Laodicean nation. We cannot, could not, you could not give Laodicea birth in Europe or Eastern Europe or the Middle East. God says that these prophecies, everything in the prophecies, all things are going to eventually develop. And through the prophecies, everything that is important for the church in America and the churches to know, the children of God, the assemblies in which the true born again people of God are, we are members of. I was Catholic. I could not have a ministry in the Catholic Church. I could not baptize people with water in the Catholic Church. I could not pray for people to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the Catholic Church. I did not have a way in the Catholic Church because of the structure to be free to talk to people like I'm visiting with you about prophecies, because the Catholic Church, they don't care about, and it is not part of their canon. Same with the Lutheran churches. All the major churches, they definitely scoff at prophecy, because the prophecies are going to bring punishment and judgment to them. Within the Catholic Church, the priests, the bishops, the cardinals, the Pope, one thing that will interfere with the agenda of the Catholic Church is the return of Jesus Christ. Same with the Lutherans, Episcopalians, Greek Orthodox. It will change everything. The Bible makes it clear in the prophecies concerning the seven churches that the seven churches, they have a time-sensitive period in which to exist, 2,000 years. And the end of that 2,000-year period is coming in 2033. There will be no Catholic Church after 2033. No Episcopalian, no Methodist, no Anglican, no Lutheran. There will be no evangelical Christianity. There will be no messianic movements. Because the true believers in these seven churches will be with Christ. They will not no longer be in the world. Israel, the kingdom of Israel will be established by Christ in 2033. He will, like it states in Psalm 24:6, in that chapter, Psalm 24, the whole chapter speaks of the final month, maybe, or the final generation before the return of Israel's Messiah. At the end of the verse, at the end of the chapter, it speaks specifically that this king, Yeshua, is going to walk by the Eastern Gate, and he's waiting to be invited in through that gate, to come through that gate. Tear down that gate is what he's saying, so that this righteous king can come through the gate into the point of the Holy of Holies and be anointed lawfully as the ruler of this world. This is why prophecy, I guess I'm not rambling. I'm following what I sense is important. I want to catch you. I want to draw this audience to continue to come back to my programs. These programs, I do not do this for money. I do not do this for fame. In fact, many have asked me to, you know, maybe, do you want to be on YouTube? Do you want to? No. I don't want that. What I have to present, if you can't listen, I don't want to be in the public. That's not me. If God, if that's his plan, well, I'll let him decide. But God has, from the time that I met him in 1972, for some reason, my heart was totally captured by the prophecies in the Bible, though I didn't know them. I read a book, Late Great Planet Earth, by Hal Lindsey. There is not going to be a late great planet Earth. The earth is for always, no matter what the militaries of the world and the governments of the world do to try to destroy the environment. The earth is always. The earth was created for man. They will not destroy it. They can't. They want to darken the skies. The sun will be seven times brighter. They want to bring plagues into the world. The plagues will catch them. They're going to rot on their feet. There's not going to be any hope for them. The plagues and the diseases that they create, they will get. I want to present things to you that are going to help you. One thing, wisdom that only God can give his children. And these messages are more directed to overcomers, to those who are faithful to God. The rest that are listening, that are not overcomers presently, I'm going to help you to give you a reality of who Jesus Christ is, who this God that is in you if you're born again, who he is, and why you exist, why you are even here. Everyone in all these movements throughout the world, they're trying to find the reason for their existence. These people that mutilate themselves, these people who are caught in all of the perverted sex, they're trying to find the meaning to their existence. There's only one, even within Islam. There are millions in Islam who they're trapped. They're trapped. They know Islam is, their God has no power. Their God doesn't heal. Their God can't save. This Allah cannot forgive sins. They're trapped. Only, and the whole Bible, and Christ is bringing about all this swarm of prophecies to prove to every human being that the Bible is the true word of God, that what is in the Bible has happened, what is documented historically has happened, occurred, is real, and that what is going to happen cannot be changed. The governments of the world, their militaries, study the Bible. They don't study the Quran. There's nothing in the Quran concerning anything other than hatred and death and misery. They study the Bible. Why does the kings of England, why do they study the Bible? Of all the European countries, they studied the Bible because the Bible tells them what the future holds. Revelation 13. The future, there will be a time where technology, especially in the United States, will be available so that they can track everything you do. They even have technology where they can read your mind from space. You don't have to believe me. But no weapons that are being created, have been created, are being created, or will be created, no weapon formed against God's children will prosper. It will not take root. They will not develop. No weapons formed against God's children. Even though we have to use this technology, we stand on the word, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue will be exposed. Everyone who speaks against us, God will give you in that second, an hour when you need to respond to your enemies, God will give you what you have to say. And it will bring torment to them. I know I'm not being linear in this program. But I'm going to be linear. I'm preparing to begin Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. You need to know it's a war that's coming. I'm going to desperately try to finish Psalm 83. The Gaza War, what you call the Gaza War, is not. It's a regional war. Just one group, people living in that area, worship gods that are in rebellion to God Himself and to the ethnic cleansing. Psalm 83 makes it clear. There will be a genocide against the Jewish people and ethnic cleansing against the children of Israel going back to the time of Abraham. It's in the Bible, in those scriptures, Psalm 83. Then there's a matter of, to the American Christians, evangelicals especially, the matter of Babylon the Great, of the end times, two Babylons, ancient and modern day Babylon. One in an ocean of sand, the other that sits between the oceans, the great oceans of the world, the Atlantic, the Pacific. A great nation like never, a nation that is different from any nation that has ever existed. Greater than Egypt, Greece, Rome. A great, great nation so powerful that the control is international. And it's evident by the term that is so, everybody's heard, a new world order, a one world government, world hegemony. England had its tentacles globally, but nothing like the United States. No nation has ever been able to basically effectively punish nations that won't go along with our agendas. And that what I'm presenting in Jeremiah 51, Jeremiah presents a nation that is the hammer of the whole world. A hammer, a maul, a battle axe, a sledgehammer. A nation so powerful, it can basically make the world a wasteland. Jeremiah 51, verse 20. God says, "You are my hammer. You're my weapon for war. I will use you to crush the nations. With you, I will destroy kingdoms. America, with you, I will crush the horse and the rider. With you, America, I will crush chariot and driver." Yet Christians say America's not in the Bible. No, it is in the Bible. It is the elephant in the swimming pool. But Christian people refuse, especially in the evangelical churches, refuse to accept that we are a godly nation. We are a nation that has having a golden cup. No, that nation has ended. We are now becoming the great monster, the great whore, the prostitute that is causing the nations to offend God, to the filth of our nation is contaminating the nations of the world. With you, I'm going to crush America. I'll crush a chariot and driver. With you, America, I will crush men and women. With you, America, I will crush old and young. With you, America, I will crush young men and young women. We can't change it. We cannot resist. We cannot change what God said is going to happen. Back in the 60s and 70s, we were protesting, the young people were protesting a government that was corrupt. It was. But now, there's just anarchy against this government. And the people, to try to, like our president presently, is trying to change things in this country to make this country great. He is actually making the country great. God is using him to further the development of the technology that is going to be used by the beast when he comes to power. The first and second beast, when they come to power in this country, Donald Trump is fulfilling prophecy. People are dismayed and they're wondering, what's he doing? What's he doing? He is obeying what the prophetic scriptures say. He's the man that has the ability to make the playing field, so to speak, for the beast and the second beast to come. They don't have that ability. The children of the world don't have that ability. God didn't give it to them. I know this is a curveball, but it's the truth. God has given wisdom to this man for the punishment to come to this nation. And the tribulation that is coming to all of the seven churches in the United States of America, Catholics, all of them, main denominations, and evangelical churches, God is using Donald Trump to develop what needs to be developed by the incompetent administration to come. They can't build what Donald Trump is doing. God is using Donald Trump to further his plan. What is the tribulation? The Christian people, they think the tribulation is just a hard time. No, tribulation is not only a hard time, but for God's children, it's a time to mature. And the maturity comes through hardship. And looking to God is going to be the answer. Walking by faith, trusting the Lord. This is what God has always expected of all his seven churches. At the same time, with the children of Israel, remember, there's going to be a time of Jacob's troubles. Israel has always been disobedient to God also, just like evangelical Christians. We want the best of the world. We pray for the blessings of God, but like I was talked about earlier in the program, the inner life, the abiding life, the life where the roots go deep, no matter what comes against you, you stand firm. The giftings won't give you that kind of stay power. Abide in me and I in you. Ask what you will, and I will give it to you. That our faith will be strong, that we will, under no matter what kind of pressure we're under, we will look to the Lord. And the miracles that we need, he will provide. He provided the miracles for Daniel and his friends in the fire, the Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. That was their Babylonian names. The tribulation is, how do I phrase it? Oh boy. If you don't listen to God, I'm jumping, but let me just bring in Ezekiel 30:21. Because I'm running out of time for this program, I'll simplify it. God comes to the children of Israel with a stick, with a rod, like a cane. And he's trying to teach them something with this wooden stick. But they won't listen. They don't want to learn the lessons that God is trying to teach them. Trust him, look to him, look to their God. And they refuse to listen to what he has to say. That's the evangelical churches. The Christians, many, God is coming with a stick to just try to get your attention, to steer you like the sheep, steer you a certain way to keep you away from the cliff and from the swamp and the bogs and the quicksand. And he has to use a stick to keep you away from dangerous danger. But Israel won't obey. So what does God say? Okay, I'm going to bring a sword. I'm going to polish it. I'm going to make it sharp. And I'm going to come to use it on you. God is equally, or I'll put it this way, he is determined to help Israel, the children of Israel, and the born-again believers in the world. And when he can't keep you from danger with using a stick, then what he does is he decides he will come and punish. And to do that, he will bring a sword. The sword is sharpened, it's polished, it's ready to for the destroyer's hand. Uh-oh, what does this mean? The destroyer's hand. God has another servant called the Antichrist. The Antichrist is the destroyer who is going to bring hardship to Israel and to the body of Christ. This is why I say prophecy is so important. And for the evangelical Christians who don't want to hear it, I will say something that's very important. When you accept that God knows what is best for you, that He is looking out for your best interest to keep you away from danger, and you yield to Him, and these words may be difficult and tough, but in the words, if you will listen, God brings something important in your experience. It's called grace. It is called an ability to accept to accept something that seems to be so negative. With it comes a power and a strength, and with that comes an ability to yield, an ability to turn, to make a transition, to set a new course. It's difficult initially, but not that difficult. When I realized in 1981 that the United States of America was Babylon the Great, it made me sick, really, in my stomach. It literally like somebody just punching you right in the gut. But eventually, after accepting the truth, then I realized that God had told me the truth, had let me know the truth, so that I could begin to make changes in my life, and it made me even more fervent for the Lord and more careful in my Christian walk. I became more careful. I was more dedicated. And God is giving all of us the time to make the transitions that are to come. Now, I'm done with this hour. The podcasts are on thispresenttruth.com. Simply, thispresenttruth.com. May the Lord Jesus, may this God Jesus, this God Yeshua, may He strengthen you. May He strengthen you with the power of His might. May He help you in your mind, that you will have peace in your soul, that you will not fear, but that you'll have a new gravity and experience with Him. In reality, He is the one who said that He is going to declare His name to the nations, and He's doing it. He is going to make His name great. And with all these judgments coming, He is making the reality of who He is evident to the people of the world. God bless you. I'll be back for another program shortly. So, may God Jesus bless you. Bye.